ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग From Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 24, the first step in God realization. Visheshastasya deho ayam. Visheshastasya deho ayam. Sastavitascha stavitaya saham. स्ताविसस्ताचास्ताविस्यासहम् यत्रेदहं वचति यते विश्वम् यत्रेदहं वयति यते विश्वम् भूतं भयं भवत् चत्सह भूतं भयं भवत् च विशेषतस्यादेहोऽयम् स्थताभिस्तश्च स्थताभिस्यासम् यत्रेदहं वच्यते विश्वम् भूतं भयं वचत् च सत् विशेषतस्यादेहोऽयम् स्थाविस्तश्च स्वविश्यसम् यत्रेदहं वज्यते विश्वम् भूतं भयं भवत् च सत् Visheshas, Vishnu, Tasya, is, Deha, body, I am, this, Stavista, grossly material, Cha, and, Stavisyasam, of all matter, Yatra, wherein, Idam, all this phenomena, vajyate is experienced, is visham, visvam, universe, bhutam, past, vayam, future, bhavat, present, cha, and sat, resultant. This translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material all is the whole, is the present body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal, resultant, past, present, and future of material time is experienced. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material all is the whole, is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal, resultant, past, present, and future of material time is experienced. Prabhupada Vasila Prabhupada. Anything either material or spiritual is but an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of God. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 13, the omnipresent Lord has his transcendental eyes, heads, and other body parts distributed everywhere. He can see, hear, touch, and manifest himself anywhere and everywhere. For he is present everywhere as the super soul of all infinite souls. Although he has his particular abode in the Absolute All, the relative all is also his phenomenal representation, because it is nothing but an expansion of his transcendental energy. Although he is in his abode, his energy is distributed everywhere, just as the sun is so localized, as well as expanded everywhere, since the rays of the sun, being non-different from the sun, are accepted as expansion of the sun is. In the Vishnu Puran 122.52 it is said that as fire expands its rays and heats from one place, similarly the Supreme Spirit, the Personality of God, expands himself by his manifold energy everywhere and anywhere. This phenomenal manifestation of the gigantic universe is only a part of the Virat body. Less intelligent men cannot conceive of the transcendental all spiritual form of the Lord, but they are astonished by his different energies. Just as the aborigines are struck with wonder by the manifestation of lightning, a gigantic mountain, or a hugely expanded banyan tree, the aborigines praise the strength of the tiger and the elephants because of their superior energy and strength. The asuras cannot recognize the existence of the Lord, although there is a vivid description of the Lord in the revealed scriptures. Although the Lord incarnates and exhibits his uncommon strength and energy, and although he is accepted as the Supreme Personality of God by learned scholars and saints like Vyasdev, Narada, Sita, and Devala, in the past and by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, and also by the Acharyas like Sankara, Ramanuja, Madhava, and Lord Chaitanya in the modern age, thus Asuras do not accept any evidential proof from the revealed scriptures, nor do they recognize the authority of the great Acharyas. They want to see with their own eyes at once. Therefore they can see the gigantic body of the Lord as Virat, which will answer their challenge. And since they are accustomed to pain, homage to superior material strength like that of the tiger, elephant, and lightning, they can offer respect to the Virata. Lord Krishna, by the request of Arjuna, exhibited his Virata for the Asuras. A pure devotee of Lord, unaccustomed to looking into such a mundane, gigantic form of the Lord, requires a special reason for the purpose. The Lord therefore favored Arjuna with special vision for looking into the Virat Truth, which is described in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This Virat Truth of the Lord was specially manifested not for the benefit of Arjuna, but for the unintelligent class of men who accepted anyone and everyone as an incarnation of the Lord, and so misled the general mass of the people. For them the indication is that one should ask the chief incarnation to exhibit the Virat Truth, and thus be established as an incarnation. The Virat Truth manifestation of Lord is simultaneously a challenge to the Aistis and a favor for the Asuras, who can think of the Lord as Virat and thus gradually cleanse the dirty things from their heart in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of the Lord in the near future. This is the favor of the All-Merciful Lord to the Aistis. in the gross materialistic. So that was the translation by Srila Prabhupada. So this is the first step of self-realization, which is basically it's talking about the material nature and how this material world, how you can actually see the material world in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. As it says that the Virat Rupa is mostly for the Asuras, people who do not believe in the personal form of the Lord. And as you're going to see in the following verses, it's going to talk more about the Virat Rupa and describing different parts of the universe as part of the Lord. As the Suttas and Virat, which are the lowest planetary system, there are actually 14 levels of the planetary system, and the lowest are the feet, and the topmost, which is the Brahmalok, is the head of the Lord. But this is material. When Arjuna saw this form, he was so scared that he didn't want to see. Because a devotee only wants to see the personal feature of the Lord. He wants to see Krishna in his three Bhringa form. What does this three Bhringa form mean? He's bent in three places with a flute in his hand. So, as I was preparing this class, I was thinking, what should I be speaking about? Should I be speaking about this Virat form, which might not be too much of interest to us, or should we speak about something, the personal feature of the Lord? So thinking of that, I thought, let's talk about something that interests us more. Let's talk about the personal feature of the Lord. And when you have darshan of the Lord, where do we start from? Feet. So let's talk about the feet of the Lord today. The beautiful feet of the Lord. So, just a few notes. Krishna's lotus feet. What does it do? Why is it called lotus? Why is Krishna's feet called lotus? Because it looks like lotus, right? It is soft. So it completely crushes the pride of rows of lotus feet. Not only one lotus feet. When the lotus feet see the Krishna's lotus feet, you know, they lose their pride. This is how beautiful Krishna's feet is. Are the eternal pleasure world of all the beauty in the whole world. So if you want to know what is the most beautiful thing, where should you look? The lotus feet of Krishna, because that's the abode of all the beauty of the whole world, are intensely worshipped for their power to give fearlessness to the surrendered gopis from the torment of the Cupid. So these are, if you want to be fearless, where should you surrender to? Lotus feet. And I'm going to talk about how actually this fearlessness comes by actually surrendering onto the lotus feet. Lotus gives joy to the five senses of the. So this is the property of the lotus. And that's why Krishna's feet is called lotus feet. What it does? It gives coolness. Right? It gives fragrance. The smells. So if you have Krishna's feet on your heart, you don't have any more heat. It's nice, it's cool, it's very effulgent. And it gives fragrance. It so smells so beautiful, you know. Once you actually smell the lotus feet of Krishna, you don't want to smell anything else. Right? It's soft. It is so soft. It's like butter soft. You know, when you leave the butter outside and you let the butter melt and then you touch it, you know how soft that is? People who will cook and they know about it. That's how soft Krishna's feet is. If you go to Vrindavan and if you see a tamal tree, you look at the back of the leaf. You pick the softest leaf which has just come up and it has the back side of the leaf. That's the softer part. That's how soft Krishna's lotus feet is. And it's very beautiful. What is the color of Krishna's feet? It is so beautiful. The most beautiful thing we talk about is the lotus flower, the moon. Not our moon. Our moon has spots. The moon in the spiritual world is spotless. It is so beautiful. And this moon, which is always compared when we talk about Krishna, we say moon-like face. This moon-like face, that moon that actually surrenders to Krishna and he dances on his feet and his 10-ton nails. This is how the moon actually serves Krishna. So rather than being there, he actually becomes humble and serves Krishna on his nails. And it is full of nectar, it's full of honey and intoxicating. So why is it honey? It's so nectar. Because the bees, the honey bees, they're always roaming around the field. And so does the devotees, who are always after the nectar. They're always at the lotus feet of Krishna. So these are some of the things about Krishna's lotus feet. This beautiful feet of Lord Krishna appears more and more beautiful at every moment. So when you look at Krishna's feet, it is beautiful. Then you look at a moment later, it even gets more beautiful. So these are some of the things about Krishna's lotus feet. Now when the idea about our Krishna consciousness life is that when we look at things, we should be able to remember Krishna. So, and this is the only way we can always remember Krishna. If we can't, the idea is we see something, it should make us remember of Krishna. So next time when you see a lotus flower, what do you think of? Krishna's feet. Next time you see moon, you should always think about Krishna's lotus feet, or Krishna's face, or Krishna's... How many moons are represented on Krishna's body? Hmm? 24 and a half. Now, I'll leave that to you to find out how. Where are the 24 and a half. I'll give you the 20. They are all the nails. So the 10 toenails and the 10 fingernails. And I'll give you one more. The lotus-like face. A moon-like face. So that's 21. The other 3 and a half, you find out. Now, to tell you, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti, who is a great acharya, he spent days to find out where the half moon came from. He was at the point of leaving his body. And then Radharani came and revealed to him where the other half moon came. So I'll leave that to you guys to actually find out. Now, how many have you seen the signs on Lord Krishna's lotus feet? What are the signs of Krishna's lotus feet? Have you seen this picture? Something like this? You see this, some pictures around, and this Simla on Radharani's feet. So what I'm going to be talking about today is the signs on Krishna's lotus feet and what do they mean. Right? So there is 8 on Sam Sundar's left feet, and there is, I think, 11 on the right hand feet. And these are the feet. There's a conch shell. You know there's a sign of conch shell on the lotus feet of Krishna? Now we should know this. Because when you're going to meet Krishna, and if you're in Vrindavan, if you see the footprints, how will you know whose footprints are there? So you should know where they are and what do they represent. Now what is the representation of conch shell? The conch shell is a symbol of victory, proclaiming that those who take shelter of Radha and Govinda's lotus feet. So this lotus shell, conch shell, is on both Radha and Krishna's feet. Right? So what does that mean? It is a symbol of victory, proclaiming that those who take shelter of Radha Govinda's lotus feet are always safe from all distress and awarded with fearlessness. So if you are afraid, think about the lotus, the conch shell on Krishna's lotus feet. As the conch shell holds water for bathing the divine couple, the lotus feet contains divine amrit that extinguishes the fire, blazing fire of the material miseries of the devotees. So this is another quality of the lotus feet of Krishna. The conch shell holds the water. What does water do? It puts away fire. So similarly, Krishna's lotus feet doesn't hold water. It holds, the conch shell holds neck amrita. And what does amrita do? It extinguishes the blazing fire of material miseries and miseries of the devotees. Another symbol that's on Krishna's feet is a flag. Right? What does the flag mean? The flag announces security and protection from fear for devotees meditating on their lotus feet. The flag on Radha's feet proclaims supreme victory over her sakhis. So Radharani has many sakhis, but there are two parties, the right wing and the left wing. And the lotus, the flag on Radharani's feet means that she is victorious over all the other sakhis. Now, just to give you an indication of what is Radharani's position in comparison to all the other gopis. If you take the qualities of all the gopis, it does not even equal a bit of what Radharani's qualities are. And that's why Krishna is always attracted to Radhika. Do you know there is a mark, there is a fish symbol on Krishna's feet? What does the fish indicate? A fish cannot exist without water. Devotees cannot live a moment without the lotus feet of Radha and Sanchanda. Now this is a big statement. Devotees cannot live a moment without the lotus feet of Radha and Sanchanda. This is the quality of the devotees. Are we really devotees? Can we live a moment without the lotus feet of Radha and Sanchanda? Now we call ourselves devotees. We have to actually elevate ourselves from time to time to see where we are. And then you see where you are and you know where you have to get to. So if you can live without the lotus feet of Radha Samshinda, right, if you don't know even what are the symbols of on their lotus feet, how can we say we know about them? We don't know about the qualities of the lotus feet. On Radha's feet, it indicates he cannot live a moment without her beloved Shyam. So Radharani's, the fish symbol of Radha's son. The fickle mind remembers a fish. So one must be gently in practice meditation to fix the lotus feet of Radha and Govindas in their heart. So how do you control the mind? As Arjuna said in Bhagavad Gita that it is easier to control the raging wind than to control the mind. So if you want to control the mind, you have to fix your mind onto the lotus of Radha and Govinda. And these are the ways to fix the mind of Radha and Govinda. If you have the picture of that, of the lotus feet, somewhere we can meditate and you can just think of each of these symbols and just meditate on it. What does it signify? And slowly the mind gets captured to it. And then you know what is the beauty about Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. The lotus feet of Radha Govinda can never live in a dry place. Now what does that mean? If our heart is hard as a stone, how can we invite Radha and Govinda into our heart? So first we have to make our heart soft. We have to liquefy our heart. We have to become humble. And this is why the most important verse on how a devotee should be is indicated is Trinad Api Suni Sena Tarapi. Humble as a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all self-pride, and respect everybody else. Because if you don't have that quality, then your heart is hard. If the heart is hard, then Govinda can't So if you want Radha and Krishna to be in your heart so you can meditate on them all the time, you can see their pastimes, you have to be humble. And how do you become humble? When you think that everybody is better than you, that's when you become humble. When you think that you are better than somebody else, then there is pride in them. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, you know, he used to pay obeisances to everybody. Raghunath Das Goswami used to pay obeisances to 2,000 people every day. 2,000 people every day used to pay his obeisances to. So we have to become humble if we want Radha Vallabha to enter our heart. We have to actually liquefy our heart. The heart must first become liquefied with loving mellows to attract the fish of the lotus feet. The fish, which is the insignia of Cupid's flag on Krishna's feet, excites the Vraj Gopis with the desire for aroma's pastimes. It also indicates that Krishna has conquered Cupid, therefore showing Cupid's flag of surrender unto the soul of his feet. Fish is also a symbol that is on Cupid's flag. So Krishna has captured him and he is now surrendered at his lotus feet. It indicates that during pralay, Krishna assumes the form of Matsya to save his devotees, the fish incarnation. Now just thinking about the fish, just about the lotus feet, you can actually just enter the pastimes of the Matsya avatar. How Krishna comes into this ocean at the end of the pralay just to protect his devotees. There's a lotus on Krishna's feet. The nectar-filled lotus creates greed for prema in the mind of the bee-like devotees who meditate on the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. So, lotus is always nectar-filled. It's beautiful, it's soft, it has a nice fragrance, right? And what it does, it creates greed for prema. Last time we were talking about greed, the need for greed in Krishna consciousness. The lotus, the symbol of Lakshmi Devi, indicates that devotees who remember Radha Govinda's lotus feet will always be fortunate and successful. So if you want to be fortunate, if you want to be successful, then take shelter of the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. The lotus feet of Radha Shyam are so soft that they can only be compared to lotus petals. Lotus petals are so soft. It's one of the softest things you can think of. But they're the closest things we can compare to the lotus feet of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Their feet is even softer than them. And this is why the Vraj Gopis, they hold Krishna's feet onto their breast, because that's the softest part of the body. And they still think the breast is too hard that it's going to hurt Krishna. The lotus feet of Radha are so soft that they can only be compared to lotus petals. At first glance, their feet appear like fresh lotus blossoms. It denotes that Radha Govinda's feet, lotus feet, all live in Prajbhumi, always live in Prajbhumi, which is in the shape of the lotus. So Prajbhumi Brindavanda, what is the shape of that? It's a lotus flower. And how does the lotus flower work? Krishna goes from one part of Braj to other parts, and it takes him just a moment. The lotus leaves are, you know, just like you see a lotus are leaves on top of each other, and each leaf has different pastimes of different part of Braj. So when Krishna wants to travel, they just hold. So Krishna just walks from one leaf onto another leaf, and it's just like walking no distance, rather than just like when we walk, we have to go all the way. And this is how Krishna travels. The whole Braj actually performs a pastime just to actually suit Krishna. It also means that one who always meditates on the lotus feet of Radha Shyam will soon become fortunate, because the divine couple grant boons by the use of the lotus. Lotus is also used, you know, when Krishna, Vishnu, they hold lotus flower in their hand, what is that for? Giving boon to the devotees. So that is also an indication of why this lotus feet on the feet of Krishna. The lotus on Radha's foot refers to period of a month. What is month? When Krishna, when Radharani has jealous anger against Krishna. When Krishna's lotus hand massages her feet. So when Radharani gets upset, what does Krishna do? He comes and begs forgiveness to the point that he holds her lotus feet in his lotus hand and massages them. And so that's why this, it also means that. It also refers to the small blue lotus flower that Radhika always carries in her hand. Did you know Radharani always carries a lotus blue flower in her hand? That's what we should always offer to Radharani, a lotus blue flower. And why is it blue? Because Krishna's complexion is blue. And what does he use that flower for? She gently taps Krishna when he misbehaves. So when Krishna is naughty, he hits with that lotus flower. So these are some of the things. So when you look at a lotus flower, you can think about it. It's always in Radharani's hand. It's always, this is what it actually means. It's full of nectar. It resembles Krishna's soft lotus feet. It has such a nice fragrance. Krishna's feet is so... If you just read this and you just try to understand a little bit, you can just think about the lotus feet, don't you think? So many things in there. Each of the symbols represent things. There's a bow there. It is unstung. The mark reveals that those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Shyam will perpetually be freed from all varieties of difficulties. Bow and arrow. Right? It also indicates that when the mind of the devotee meets the target of his feet, that prema condenses as a result that overflows as tears showering from the eyes. So if our mind, the mind of the devotee, meets the target of the feet, that means when our mind is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, and what is the symbol, what's going to happen? The result is overflowing of tears showering from the eyes. So when you look at Krishna's feet and there's no tears coming out, that means we haven't hit the target yet. You know what a god is? G-O-A-D. You know when this elephant people, elephant masters or whatever you call them, they control the elephant, it's like in a shape, and they, when they pull them, they basically walk. There's a small, like a hook kind of thing, right? It's called a god. The god denotes the meditation on Radha Govinda's lotus feet, brings the elephant of the devotee's mind under control and keeps them on the right path. The mind is like an elephant. Elephant is such a huge animal, it is uncontrolled, it's so powerful, right? But how do you control the elephant? Just like with a god. It's a very small tool, it's just sharp and you pull them and they come with you all the time. Those who have seen elephants being, you know, guided along, they will notice that. And this is how you actually control this elephant of the mind. Surrender to the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. On Radha's foot, the god shows that Radha and only Radha can completely control the mad elephant hero named Krishna. Now, Krishna is also named as a mad elephant. Because nobody can control him. But who controls Radharani? Who controls Krishna? Radharani. So these are some of the symbols in there. Another symbol is the triangle. Devotees who take shelter of Krishna's feet get saved from the snare of the three modes and the three folds miseries represented by the three sides of the triangle. The lotus feet of Shyam are the first and last refuge for the inhabitants of the three worlds. Krishna's lotus feet are the safest security for the demigods, humans and animals as well. Everyone should resort to Krishna's lotus feet with full concentration of body, mind and words. Krishna's feet have attracted the fixed grace of the three eyes of Lord Shiva. So the triangle basically means, this is how actually the three modes of material nature, the gun, tamagun, rajagun, and subsequent Dayagava, said, and you come to pure goodness. So once you actually take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, nothing in this material world will affect you. So if you want to get out of this material world, where do you surrender to? The lotus feet of Krishna. Barikon. The Barikon signifies that devotees receive all enjoyable opulence by saving the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. You know what Barikon is? So a small grain. This is what you offer in the yagnas, right? Signifies devotees receive all enjoyable opulences by saving the lotus feet of Govinda. Once one finds shelter of their feet, then the devotee's journey through many births and deaths is cut very short, just like a grain of barley. The barley's grain sustains life for living beings. Simultaneously, the glorious lotus feet of Radha Shyam are the fullest nourishment for all souls. There is an altar on the lotus feet of Radha. It's not on Krishna's feet, it's only on Radha's feet. This mark proclaims that the sins of those who meditate on Radha's feet are burned up as if on the altar of sacrifice. So when you do the five yagnas, right, one of the reasons is that the sins of our life actually gets burnt. But there is an altar on Radharani's feet. So if you meditate on Radharani's feet, same effect happens. Furthermore, it indicates that just as the universe is nourished by the Brahmins offering fire sacrifice, similarly those who offer their minds in sacrifice to Radhika's feet becomes fully enriched and nourished in devotion. So there is a lot of yagnas done. These yagnas are done to actually get a lot of material benefits and things like that. But by meditating on the lotus feet, the altar of Radharani's lotus feet, one will get devotion. It also denotes that the eternal loving service of Siddhartha's sweet lotus feet is the ultimate goal of all tap, varat, dhan and yagna, which is penance, vows, charity and sacrifices. Another sign is half moon. It signifies the demigods like Lord Shiva have decorated their own head with the souls of Radha Govinda's lotus feet. Now this sign, Lord half moon, is on the heel of Radha and Shamsundar. And Lord Shiva, where does he have his? On the forehead, right? And his forehead is where? At the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. So just because there's a moon there, Lord Shiva actually has it on his forehead. So Lord Shiva is also, who is the Param Vaishnava, he is the greatest devotee. Right? And he is surrendered to the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. It also indicates that devotees who likewise decorate their own heads with the lotus feet of Radha and Govinda can become exalted like pure devotees like Lord Shiva. Just as the moon showers nectar with its cooling rays, similarly the soothing lotus feet of Radha Shyamsundar showers nectar upon the devotees, which extinguishes the three faults of material miseries. Moon has soft rays, very cooling rays. And this is what brings sweetness to the fruits and vegetables. Sun gives its energy, but the moon gives the sweetness. And similarly, this nectar-filled lotus feet of Radha, Shyamsundar, they also give, nourish and shower nectar onto the devotees. And what it does, it extinguishes all the sufferings of this material misery. So that the devotee's mind may reside at their lotus feet, Radha Govinda bears the symbol of the moon, which is the presiding deity of the mind. Mind's presiding deity is what? The moon. So that's another reason. Half moon is there so that we can actually concentrate our mind at the lotus feet. So if we meditate on the moon, half moon and lotus feet, then it's very easy to control the mind, your mind as well. Because the moon is the deity of the mind. It means that the real moon has She got up in shame and appears as half moon before the slender full moon of the lustrous toenail. So this is, the toenail of Krishna is so beautiful that the other moon became ashamed and shivered itself and became so small, humble just to be there. Just as the half moon is progressing towards the full size and glory, similarly the benefit of one who day by day expands the glories of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet certainly increases to the topmost degree. So if we just meditate on that, then similarly just like the small moon, the moon small grows bigger and bigger and becomes a full moon, just by meditating on the lotus feet of Radha and Radha Sam Sundar, our devotion will also increase and increase and become full one. So these are symbols, and there are heaps more symbols in there. Now if you want to know more about it, this is the book where you get it from. It's Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. It's written by Manidhi Swami. It's a lot more in there, and if I take read, it will take probably another hour to go through this. So what my point today here is, you know, the beauty of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. We should know the lotus feet every day. We should meditate on it. When we actually have darshan of their beloved lotus feet of the Lord, we should know what is in there. Why is Krishna's feet so red? First, its color is red. Secondly, because the gopis put his head on their, put his legs on their breast, and that's where the kumkums are. So the kumkum, which is red in color, also gets on the Krishna's lotus feet, and that's why Krishna's feet becomes more red. So if you see kumkum, if you see anything red, you can actually think of Krishna's lotus feet. If you see lotus flower, you can see Krishna's lotus feet. When you see the moon, you can see Krishna's lotus feet. If you see fish, you see ocean, you can see, think of fish, and you can think of Krishna's lotus feet. The idea is just to see whatever we can see around, we can relate to Krishna. And this is the way we can actually remember Krishna. When you see a grain of barley, you think about Krishna's feet. If I surrender to the lotus feet, all our sins which has been accumulated for millions of lifetimes becomes just like a small grain. It becomes insignificant. There is a hoof print, cow hoof print on lotus Krishna's feet. What does that indicate? Same thing, you know. Once you surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, this material all, we can actually get out of it just like we cross over a hoof print of a cow. There's an umbrella on Radharani's and Radha and Krishna's feet. You can be glorious like a king. You know, kings always have umbrellas on their head, over their head. Now surrendering to lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, you can also become glorious. Just like that. Okay, so we're going to stop here. Any questions? Any comments? There is an earring on Radharani's voice. It says that Krishna's ears always listen to the tingling sound of Radha's charming ankle bells, and the melodious sound of her voice, the sweet rhythm of her love poems, and the intoxication raags of her bina. Any comments, any questions, anything else? Everybody understood? Okay, then we'll stop here. All glories to Sri Radha Ballabha, Sri Jagannath Balarama.